That old bishop that spoke over the altar, his long preach about woman's higher functions, about girls now riding the bicycle and wearing peak caps, and the new woman bloomers, God send them sense. And me more money. I suppose they're called after him. I never thought that would be my name. Bloom. When I used to write it in print to see how it looked on a visiting card or practising for the butcher. And oblige, M. Bloom. You're looking blooming, Josie used to say after I married him. Well, it's better than Breen or Briggs. Just Brigger. Those awful names with bottom in them. Mrs. Ram's bottom. Or some other kind of a bottom. Mulvey I wouldn't go mad about either. I suppose I divorced him. Mrs. Boylan. My mother, whoever she was, might have given me a nicer name, the Lord knows, after the lovely one she had. Lunita Laredo. The fun we had running along Willis Road to Europa Point, twisting in and out all around the other side of Jersey. They were shaking and dancing about in my blouse, like Millie's little ones now when she runs up the stairs. I loved looking down at them. I was jumping up at the pepper trees and the white poplars, pulling the leaves off and throwing them at him. He went to India. He was to write. The voyages those men have to make to the ends of the world and back. It's the least they might get a squeeze or two at a woman while they can. Going out to be drowned or blown up somewhere. I went up Windmill Hills to the flats that Sunday morning with Captain Ruvios that was dead. Spyglass, like the sentry had. He said he'd have one or two from on board. I wore that frock from the Bain Marché, Paris, and the coral necklace. The straits shining. I could see over to Morocco, almost the Bay of Tangier. White. And the Atlas Mountain with snow on it, and the straits like a river, so clear. Harry. Molly, darling. I was thinking of him on the sea all the time after at Mass, when my petticoat began to slip down at the elevation. Weeks and weeks I kept the handkerchief under my pillow for the smell of him. There was no decent perfume to be got in that Gibraltar, only that cheap poo d'Espagne that faded and left a stink on you. More than anything else I wanted to give him a memento. He gave me that clumsy clatter ring for luck that I gave Gardner going to South Africa. Or those Boers killed him with their war and fever. But they were well beaten all the same, as if it brought its bad luck with it, like an opal or pearl. Must have been pure 16-carat gold, because it was very heavy. I can see his face, clean-shaven. Freer-shrong. That train again. Weeping tone. Once in the dear dead days beyond recall. Close my eyes, breath, my lips forward. Kiss, sad look, eyes open, piano. Air o'er the world, the mists began. I hate that, ispic. Comes love's sweet song. I let that out full when I get in front of the footlights again. Kathleen Carney and her lot of squealers, miss this, miss that, miss the other lot of sparrow farts. Skitting around, talking about politics, they know as much about as my backside. Anything in the world to make themselves some way interesting. Irish homemade beauties. Soldier's daughter am I, eh? And whose are you, bootmakers and publicans? I beg your pardon, coach, I thought you were a wheelbarrow. They'd die down dead off their feet if ever they got a chance of walking down the Alameda on an officer's arm, like me on the band night. My eyes flash, my bust they haven't. Passion? God help their poor head. I knew more about men and life when I was 15 than they'll all know at 50. They don't know how to sing a song like that. Gardner said no man could look at my mouth and teeth smiling like that and not think of it. I was afraid he mightn't like my accent first. He's so English. All father left me, in spite of his stamps. I've my mother's eyes and figure, anyhow. He always said they're so snotty about themselves, some of those cads. He wasn't a bit like that. He was dead gone on my lips. Let them get a husband first that's fit to be looked at, and a daughter like mine. Or see if they can excite a swell with money that can pick and choose whoever he wants, like Boylan. To do it 4 or 5 times, locked in each other's arms. Or the voice, either. I could have been a prima donna, only I married him. Comes love's old, deep down chin back, not too much, make it double. My lady's bower is too long for an encore about the moated grange of twilight and vaulted rooms. Yes, I'll sing Winds That Blow from the South that he gave after the choir stairs performance. I'll change that lace on my black dress to show off my bobs, and I'll... Yes, by God, I'll get that big fan mended, make them burst with envy. Oh, my hole is itching me always when I think of him. I feel I want to. Oh, I feel some wind in me. Better go easy, not wake him. Have him at it again, slobbering, after washing every bit of myself back, belly and sides. If we even had a bath itself, or my own room anyway, I wish he'd sleep in some bed by himself with his cold feet on me. Give us room even to let a fart god or do the least thing. Better, yes, hold them like that. A bit on my side, piano, quietly. Sweet. There's that train, far away, pianissimo. One more. Song. Oh, that was a relief. Wherever you be, let your wind go free. Who knows if that pork chop I took with my cup of tea after was quite good with the heat. I couldn't smell anything off it. I'm sure that queer-looking man in the pork butcher's is a great rogue. I hope that lamp is not smoking, fill my nose up with smuts. Better than having him leaving the gas on all night, I couldn't rest easy in my bed in Gibraltar. Even getting up to sea, why am I so damned nervous about that? Though I like it in the winter, it's more company. Lord, it was rotten cold, too, that winter when I was only about 10, was I? Yes, I had the big doll with all the funny clothes, dressing her up and undressing. That icy wind skeeting across from those mountains, something Nevada, Sierra Nevada. Standing at the fire, with a little bit of a short shift I had up to heat myself. I loved dancing about it, then make a race back into the bed. I'm sure that fellow opposite used to be there the whole time, watching, with the lights out in the summer and I in my skin hopping around. I used to love myself then, stripped at the washstand, dabbing and creaming. Only when it came to the chamber performance, I put out the light too. So then there were two of us. Goodbye to my sleep for this night, anyhow. I hope he's not going to get in with those medicals, leading him astray to imagine he's young again. Coming in at 4 in the morning, it must be, if not more. Still, he had the manners not to wake me. What did they find to gabber about all night? Squandering money and getting drunker and drunker, couldn't they drink water? Then he starts giving us his orders for eggs and tea, finned and haddie, and hot buttered toast. I suppose we'll have him sitting up like the king of the country, pumping the wrong end of the spoon up and down in his egg, wherever he learned that from. And I love to hear him falling up the stairs of a morning, with the cups rattling on the tray, and then play with the cat. She rubs up against you for her own sake. I wonder if she flees. She's as bad as a woman, always licking and lecking. But I hate their claws. I wonder, do they see anything that we can't, staring like that, when she sits at the top of the stairs so long, and listening, as I wait always. What a robber, too. That lovely fresh place I bought. I think I'll get a bit of fish tomorrow. Or today. Is it Friday? Yes, I will. With some blancmange with blackcurrant jam. Like long ago. Not those 2-pound pots of mixed plum and apple from the London and Newcastle. Williams and Woods goes twice as far. Only for the bones. I hate those eels. Cod. Yes. I'll get a nice piece of cod. I'm always getting enough for 3, forgetting. Anyway, I'm sick of that everlasting butcher's meat from Buckley's, loin chops and leg beef and rib steak and scrag of mutton and calf's pluck. The very name is enough. Or a picnic. Suppose we all gave 5 shillings each and... or let him pay, and invite some other woman for him. Who? Mrs. Fleming, and drive out to the Furry Glen, or the strawberry beds. We'd have him examining all the horses' toenails first, like he does with the letters. No, not with Boylan there. Yes, with some cold veal and ham, mixed sandwiches. There are little houses down at the bottom of the banks there, on purpose. But it's as hot as blazes, he says. Not a bank holiday, anyhow. I hate those Rock of Mary Ann coal boxes out for the day. Whit Monday's a cursed day, too. No wonder that bee bit him. Better the seaside. But I'd never again in this life get into a boat with him. After him at Bray telling the boatman he knew how to row. If anyone asked could he ride the steeplechase for the Gold Cup, he'd say yes. Then I came on to get rough, the old thing crooketing about, and the weight all down my side, telling me to pull the right reins, now pull the left. And the tide all swamping in, floods in through the bottom, and his oar slipping out of the stirrup. It's a mercy we weren't all drowned. He can swim, of course, me. No, there's no danger whatsoever. Keep yourself calm in his flannel trousers. I'd like to have tattered them down off him before all the people and given what that one calls flageolet till he was black and blue. Do him all the good in the world, only for that long-nosed chap. I don't know who he is. Where that other beauty, Burke, out of the City Arms Hotel, was there, spying around as usual on the slip, always where he wasn't wanted if there was a row on. You vomit a better face. There was no love lost between us. That's one consolation. I wonder what kind is that book he brought me. Sweets of Sin, by a gentleman of fashion. Some other Mr. de Cock. I suppose the people gave him that nickname, going about with his tube from one woman to another. I couldn't even change my new white shoes, all ruined with the salt water. And the hat I had with that feather, all blowy and tossed on me, how annoying and provoking, because the smell of the sea excited me, of course. The sardines and the bream in Catalan Bay, round the back of the rock, they were fine, all silver in the fishermen's baskets. Old Luigi, near 100, they said, came from Genoa. And the tall old chap with the earrings. I don't like a man you have to climb up to go get at. I suppose they're all dead and rotten long ago. Besides, I don't like being alone in this big barracks of a place at night. Suppose I'll have to put up with it. I never brought a bit of salt in, even when we moved in the confusion. Musical academy he was going to make, on the first floor drawing room with a brass plate, or Bloom's private hotel, he suggested. Go and ruin himself altogether the way his father did down in Ennis. Like all the things he told Father he was going to do, and me. But I saw through him, telling me all the lovely places we could go for the honeymoon. Venice, by moonlight, with the gondolas, and the Lake of Como he had a picture cut out of some paper of, and mandolins and lanterns. Oh, how nice, I said. Whatever I liked he was going to do immediately, if not sooner. Will you be my man? Will you carry my can? He ought to get a leather medal with a putty rim for all the plans he invents. Then leaving us here all day. You never know what old beggar at the door for a crust with his long story. Might be a tramp, and put his foot in the way to prevent me shutting it. Like that picture of that hardened criminal he was called in Lloyd's Weekly News. 20 years in jail. Then he comes out and murders an old woman for her money. Imagine his poor wife or mother, whoever she is. Such a face you'd run miles away from. I couldn't rest easy till I bolted all the doors and windows to make sure. But it's worse again being locked up, like in a prison or a madhouse. They ought to be all shot, or the cat of nine tails, a big brute like that, that would attack a poor old woman to murder her in her bed. I'd cut them off, so I would. Not that he'd be much use. Still, better than nothing. The night I was sure I heard burglars in the kitchen, and he went down in his shirt, with a candle and a poker, as if he was looking for a mouse, as white as a sheet, frightened out of his wits, making as much noise as he possibly could for the burglar's benefit. There isn't much to steal, indeed the Lord knows. Still, it's the feeling, especially now with Millie away. Such an idea for him to send the girl down there to learn to take photographs, on account of his grandfather, instead of sending her to Scarry's Academy where she'd have to learn. Not like me, getting all at school. Only he'd do a thing like that all the same on account of me and Boylan. That's why he did it, I'm certain. The way he plots and plans everything out. I couldn't turn around with her in the place lately unless I bolted the door first. Gave me the fidgets. Coming in without knocking first, when I put the chair against the door, just as I was washing myself there below with the glove. Get on your nerves. Then doing the log lady all day. Put her in a glass case with two at a time to look at her. If he knew she broke off the hand off that little gimcrack statue with her roughness and carelessness before she left, that I got that little Italian boy to mend so that you can't see the join for 2 shillings. Wouldn't even team the potatoes for you. Course, she's right, not to ruin her hands. I noticed he was always talking to her lately at the table, explaining things in the paper. And she, pretending to understand, sly, of course, that comes from his side of the house, and helping her into her coat. But if there was anything wrong with her, it's me she'd tell, not him. He can't say I pretend things, can he? I'm too honest. As a matter of fact, I suppose he thinks I'm finished out and laid on the shelf. Well, I'm not. No, nor anything like it. We'll see. We'll see now. She's well on for flirting too with Tom Devan's 2 sons, imitating me, whistling, with those rumps of Murray girls calling for her. Can Millie come out, please? She's in great demand. To pick what they can out of her round in Nelson Street, riding Harry Devan's bicycle at night. It's as well he sent her where she is. She was just getting out of bounds. Wanting to go on the skating rink and smoking their cigarettes through their nose. I smelt it off her dress when I was biting off the thread of the button I sewed on to the bottom of her jacket. She couldn't hide much from me, I tell you. Only I oughtn't to have stitched it in an honour. It brings a parting. And the last plum pudding too, split in 2 halves. See, it comes out no matter what they say. Her tongue is a bit too long for my taste. "Your blouse is too low," she says to me, the pan calling the kettle Black Bottom, and I had to tell her not to cock her legs up like that, on show on the window-sill before all the people passing. They all look at her. Like me when I was her age. Of course any old rag looks well on you. Then a great touch-me-not too in her own way, at the only way in the Theatre Royal. Take your foot away out of that. I hate people touching me. Afraid of her life I'd crush her skirt with the pleats." A lot of that touching must go on in theatres, in the crush and the dark. They're always trying to wriggle up to you. That fellow in the pit at the Pit of the Gaiety, for Beerbohm Tree and Trilby. The last time I'll ever go there to be squashed like that for any Trilby, or her Beerbohm. Every 2 minutes tipping me there and looking away. He's a bit daft, I think. I saw him after trying to get near 2 stylish-dressed ladies outside Switzer's window. The same little game. I recognised him on the moment, the face and everything. But he didn't remember me. And she didn't even want to kiss me at the Broadstone, going away. Well, I hope she'll get someone to dance attendance on her the way I did when she was down with the mumps, her glands swollen. Where's this and where's that? Of course, she can't feel anything deep yet. I never came properly till I was, 22 or so. It went into the wrong place always. Only the usual girl's nonsense and giggling. That Connie Connolly writing to her in white ink and black paper, sealed with sealing wax. Though she clapped when the curtain came down, because he looked so handsome. Then we had Martin Harvey for breakfast, dinner and supper. I thought to myself afterwards, it must be real love, if a man gives up his life for her that way, for nothing. I suppose there are a few men like that left. It's hard to believe in it, though, unless it really happened to me. The majority of them with not a particle of love in their natures. To find 2 people like that nowadays, full up of each other, that would feel the same way as you do. They're usually a bit foolish in the head. His father must have been a bit queer to go and poison himself after. Still, poor old man, I suppose he felt lost. Always making love to my things, too, the few old rags I have. Wanting to put her hair up at 15. My powder, too, only ruin her skin and her. She's time enough for that, all her life. After, of course, she's restless, knowing she's pretty with her lips so red. A pity they won't stay that way. I was too. But there's no use going to the fair with the thing, answering me like a fish woman when I asked to go for half a stone of potatoes the day we met Mrs. Jo Gallagher at the trotting matches, and she pretended not to see us in her trap with Friary the solicitor. We weren't grand enough, till I gave her two damn fine cracks across the ear for herself. Take that now, for answering me like that, and that for your impudence. She had me that exasperated, of course, contradicting. I was bad-tempered, too, because how was it? There was a weed in the tea, or I didn't sleep the night before. Cheese I ate, was it? And I told her over and over again not to leave knives crossed like that, because she has nobody to command her, as she said herself. Well, if he doesn't correct her faith, I will. That was the last time she turned on the tear tap. Oh, I was just like that myself. They daren't order me about the place. It is fault, of course, having the two of us slaving here, instead of getting in a woman long ago. Am I ever going to have a proper servant again? Of course, then she'd see him coming. I'd have to let her know, or she'd revenge it. And the nuisance. That old Mrs. Fleming. You have to be walking round after her, putting the things into her hands, sneezing and farting into the pots. Well, of course, she's old. She can't help it. A good job I found that rotten old smelly dishcloth that got lost behind the dresser. I knew there was something, and opened the window to let out the smell, bringing in his friends to entertain them, like the night he walked home with a dog, if you please, that might have been mad, especially Simon Dedalus' son. His father such a criticiser, with his glasses, up with his tall hat on him at the cricket match, and a great big hole in his sock, one thing laughing at the other. And his son that got all those prizes for whatever. He won them in the intermediate. Imagine climbing over the railings. If anybody saw him that knew us. Wonder he didn't tear a big hole in his grand funeral trousers. As if the one nature gave wasn't enough for anybody. Hawking him down into the dirty old kitchen. Now is he right in the head, I ask. Pity it wasn't washing day. My old pair of drawers might have been hanging up too on the line, an exhibition, for all he'd ever care. With the iron mould mark the stupid old bundle burned in them, he might think was something else. And she never even rendered down the fat, I told her. And now she's going, such as she was, on account of her paralysed husband getting worse. There's always something wrong with them. Disease, or they have to go under an operation. Or if it's not that, it's drink, and he beats her. I'll have to hunt around again for someone. Every day I got up, there's some new thing on. Sweet God, sweet God. Well, when I'm stretched out dead in my grave, I suppose I'll have some peace. I want to get up a minute if I'm let. Wait. Oh, Jesus, wait. Yes, that thing has come on me. Yes, now wouldn't that afflict you? Of course, all the poking and rooting and ploughing he had up on me now. What am I to do? Friday, Saturday, Sunday, wouldn't that pester the soul out of a body? Unless he likes it, some men do. God knows, there's always something wrong with us. 5 days every 3 or 4 weeks, usual monthly auction. Isn't it simply sickening? That night it came on me like that, the one and only time we were in a box that Michael Gunn gave him, to see Mrs. Kendall and her husband in the Gaiety. Something he did about insurance for him. Drimmies. I was fit to be tied, though I wouldn't give in with that gentleman of fashion staring down at me with his glasses, and him the other side of me, talking about Spinoza and his soul that's dead, I suppose, millions of years ago. I smiled the best I could, all in a swamp, leaning forward as if I was interested, having to sit it out then to the last tag. I won't forget that wife of Scarley in a hurry, supposed to be a fast play about adultery, that idiot in the gallery. Hissing the woman. Adulteress, he shouted. I suppose he went and had a woman in the next lane, running round all the back ways after to make up for it. I wish he had what I had. Then he'd boo. I bet the cat itself is better off than us. Have we too much blood up in us, or what? Oh, patience above. It's pouring out of me, like the sea. Anyhow, he didn't make me pregnant, as big as he is. Don't want to ruin the clean sheets. The clean linen I wore brought it on, too. Damn it, oh, damn it. They always want to see a stain on the bed to know you're a virgin for them. That's all that's troubling them. The You're such fools, too. You could be a widow or divorced 40 times over. A daub of red ink would do. Or blackberry juice. No, that's too purply. Oh, Jamesy, let me up out of this poo. Sweets of sin. Whoever suggested that business for women? What between clothes and cooking and children? This damned old bed too jingling like the dickens. I suppose they could hear us away over the other side of the park till I suggested to put the quilt on the floor with the pillow under my bottom. I wonder, is it nicer in the day? I think it is. Easy. I think I'll cut all this hair off me there. It's scalding me. I might look like a young girl. Wouldn't he get the great suckin' the next time he turned up my clothes on me? I'd give anything to see his face. Where's the chamber gone? Easy. I've a holy horror of it breaking under me after that old commode. I wonder, was I too heavy sitting on his knee? I made him sit in the easy chair purposely when I took off only my blouse and skirt first in the other room. He was so busy where he oughtn't to be, he never felt me. I hope my breath was sweet after those kissing comforts. Easy. God, I remember one time I could scout it out straight, whistling like a man almost. Easy. Oh, Lord, how noisy. I hope there are bubbles on it for a wad of money from some fella. I'll have to perfume it in the morning. Don't forget. I bet he never saw a better pair of thighs than that. Look how white they are. The smoothest place is right there between this bit here. How soft. Like a peach. Easy. God, I wouldn't mind being a man and get up on a lovely woman. Oh, Lord, what a row you're making. Like the Jersey lily. Easy. Oh, how the waters come down at Lahore. Who knows, is there anything the matter with my insides, or have I something growing in me? Getting that thing like that every week. When was it last? Whitmonday, yes. It's only about 3 weeks. I ought to go to the doctor. Only to be like before I married him, when I had that white thing coming from me, and Floy made me go to that dry old stick Dr. Collins for women's diseases on Pembroke Road. Your vagina, he called it. I suppose that's how he got all the gilt mirrors and carpets, getting round those rich ones off Stephen's Green, running up to him for every little fiddle-faddle. Her vagina and her cockin' china. They've money, of course, so they're all right. I wouldn't marry him. Not if he was the last man in the world. Besides, there's something queer about their children. Always smelling around those filthy bitches all sides, asking me if what I did had an offensive odour. What did he want me to do but the one thing? Gold, maybe? What a question. If I smothered it all over his wrinkly old face for him with all my compliment, I suppose he'd know then. And could you pass it easily? Pass what? I thought he was talking about the Rock of Gibraltar, the way he puts it. That's a very nice invention, too, by the way. Only I like letting myself down after in the hole as far as I can squeeze, and pull the chain then to flush it. Nice, cool pins and needles. Still, there's something in it, I suppose. I always used to know by Millie's when she was a child whether she had worms or not. Still, all the same, paying him for that. How much is that, doctor? 1 guinea, please. And asking me had I frequent omissions. Where do those old fellows get all the words they have? Omissions. With his short-sighted eyes on me cocked sideways. I wouldn't trust him too far to give me chloroform or God knows what else. Still, I liked him. When he sat down to write the thing out, frowning so severe. His nose, intelligent like that. You be damned, you lying strap. Oh, anything. No matter who, except an idiot. He was clever enough to spot that, of course. That was all. Thinking of him and his mad, crazy letters. My precious one. Everything connected with your glorious body. Everything underlined. That comes from It is a Thing of Beauty and of Joy Forever. Something he got out of some nonsensical book. That he had me always at myself 4 or 5 times a day sometimes. And I said I hadn't. Are you sure? Oh, yes, I said, I'm quite sure. In a way that shut him up. I knew what was coming next. Only natural. Weakness it was. He excited me. I don't know how. The first night ever we met, when I was living in Rehoboth Terrace, we stood staring at one another for about 10 minutes, as if we met somewhere. I suppose on account of my being Jewess, looking after my mother. He used to amuse me, the things he said, with the half-sleuthering smile on him. And all the Doyle said he was going to stand for a Member of Parliament. Oh, wasn't I the born fool to believe all his blather about Home Rule and the Land League? Sending me that long strool of a song out of the Huguenots to sing in French, to be more classy. Au beau pays de la Touraine, that I never even sang once, explaining and rigmaroling about religion and persecution. He won't let you enjoy anything naturally. Then, mighty, as a great favour, the very first opportunity he got a chance in Brighton Square, running into my bedroom, pretending the ink got in his hands to wash it off with Albion milk and sulphur soap I used to use, and the gelatine still round it. Oh, I laughed myself sick at him that day. Oh, I'd better not make an all-night sitting on this affair. They ought to make chambers a natural size, so that a woman could sit in it properly. He kneels down to do it. I suppose there isn't in all creation another man with the habits he has. Look at the way he's sleeping at the foot of the bed. How can he, without a hard bolster? It's well he doesn't kick or he might knock out all my teeth. Breathing, with his hand on his nose, like that Indian god he took me to show one wet Sunday in the museum in Kildare Street. All yellow, and a pinafore, lying on his side on his hand, with his 10 toes sticking out. That, he said, was a bigger religion than the Jews and our lords both put together, all over Asia. Imitating him, as he's always imitating everybody. I suppose he used to sleep at the foot of the bed, too, with his big square feet up in his wife's mouth. Damn, this stinking thing, anyway. Where's this those napkins are? Ah, yes, I know. I hope the old press doesn't creak. Ah, I knew it would. He's sleeping hard, had a good time somewhere. Still, she must have given him great value for his money. Of course he has to pay for it from her. Oh, this nuisance of a thing. I hope they'll have something better for us in the other world. Tying ourselves up. Oh, God help us. That's all right for tonight. Now, the lumpy old jingly bed always reminds me of old Cohen. I suppose he scratched himself in it often enough. And he thinks Father bought it from Lord Napier that I used to admire when I was a little girl, because I told him. Easy. Piano. Oh, I like my bed. God, here we are. As bad as ever after 16 years. How many houses were we in at all? Raymond Terrace and Ontario Terrace and Lombard Street and Hollis Street. And he goes about whistling every time we're on the run again, his Huguenots, or the Frogs March, pretending to help the men with our 4 sticks of furniture. And then the City Arms Hotel, worse and worse, says Warden Daly. That charming place on the landing, always somebody inside, praying, then leaving all their stinks after them. Always know who is in there last. Every time we're just getting on right, something happens, or he puts his big foot in it. Tom's and Healy's and Mr. Cuff's and Drimmy's, either he's going to be run into prison over his old lottery tickets that was to be all our salvations, or he goes and gives impudence. We'll have him coming home with the sack soon out of the Freeman, too, like the rest, on account of those Shinner Fane or the Freemasons. Then we'll see if the little man he showed me dribbling along in the wet, all by himself round by Cody's Lane, will give him much consolation that he says is so capable and sincerely Irish. He is indeed, judging by the sincerity of the trousers I saw on him. Wait. There's George's church bells. Wait. 3/4 the hour. Wait. 2 o'clock. Well, that's a nice hour of the night for him to be coming home at, to anybody climbing down into the area. If anybody saw him, I'll knock him off that little habit tomorrow. First I'll look at his shirt to see, or I'll see if he has that French letter still in his pocketbook. I suppose he thinks I don't know. Deceitful men. All their 20 pockets aren't enough for their lies. Then why should we tell them? Even if it's the truth they don't believe you, then tucked up in bed like those babies in the aristocrat's masterpiece he brought me another time. As if we hadn't enough of that in real life, without some old aristocrat or whatever his name is disgusting you more. With those rotten pictures. Children. With two heads and no legs. That's the kind of villainy they're always dreaming about, with not another thing in their empty heads. They ought to get slow poison, the half of them. Then tea and toast for him, buttered on both sides, and new-laid eggs. I suppose I'm nothing any more, when I wouldn't let him lick me in Holler Street one night. Man, man, tyrant as ever for the one thing. He slept on the floor half the night, naked, the way Jews used when somebody dies belong to them, and wouldn't eat any breakfast or speak a word, wanting to be petted. So I thought I stood out enough for one time and let him. He does it all wrong, too, thinking only of his own pleasure. His tongue is too flat, or I don't know what. He forgets that we... Then I don't. I'll make him do it again if he doesn't mind himself, and lock him down to sleep in the coal cellar with the black beetles. I wonder, was it her? Josie. Off her head at my cast-offs. He's such a born liar, too. No. He'd never have the courage with a married woman. That's why he wants me and Boylan. Though as for her, Dennis, she calls him. That forlorn-looking spectacle, you couldn't call him a husband. Yes, it's some little bitch he's got in with. Even when I was with him with Millie at the college races, that hornblower with the child's bonnet on the top on his knob let us into by the back way. He was throwing his sheep's eyes at those two, doing skirt duty up and down. I tried to wink at him first. No use, of course. And that's the way his money goes. This is the fruits of Mr. Paddy Dignam. Yes, they were all in great style at the grand funeral in the paper Boylan brought in. If they saw a real officer's funeral, that'd be something. Reversed arms, muffled drums, the poor horse walking behind in black. L. Bloom. And Tom Kernan and that drunken little barrelly man that bit his tongue off, falling down the men's WC drunk in some place or other. And Martin Cunningham and the two Daedaluses. And Fanny McCoy's husband, white head of cabbage. Skinny thing with a turn in her eye, trying to sing my songs. She'd want to be born all over again. And her old green dress with the low neck, as she can't attract them any other way. Like dabbling on a rainy day. I see it all now, plainly, and they call that friendship killing and then burying one another, and they all with their wives and families at home. More especially Jack Power, keeping that barmaid. He does, of course. His wife is always sick, or going to be sick, or just getting better of it, and he's a good-looking man still, though he's getting a bit grey over the years. They're a nice lot, all of them. Well... They're not going to get my husband again into their clutches if I can help it, making fun of him then behind his back. I know well when he goes on with his idiotics, because he has sense enough not to squander every penny piece he earns down their gullets, and looks after his wife and family good-for-nothings. Poor Paddy Dignam all the same. I'm sorry in a way for him. What are his wife and five children going to do, unless he was insured? Comical little teetotum, always stuck up in some pub corner, and her or her son waiting. Bill Bailey, won't you please come home? Her widow's weeds won't improve her appearance. They're awfully becoming, though, if you're good-looking. What, man, wasn't he? Yes, he was at the Glencree dinner, and Ben Dollard, bass barrel-tone, the night he borrowed the swallowtail to sing out of in Holler Street. Squeezed and squashed into them, and grinning all over his big dolly face like a well-whipped child's body. Didn't he look a balmy ballocks? Sure enough, that must have been a spectacle on the stage. Imagine paying 5 shillings in the preserved seats for that, to see him. And Simon Dedalus, too, he was always turning up half-screwed, singing the second verse first. The old love is the new was one of his. So sweetly sang the maiden on the hawthorn bough. He was always on for flirtifying, too, when I sang Maritana with him at Freddie Mayer's private opera. He had a delicious, glorious voice. Phoebe, dearest, goodbye, sweetheart, he always sang it. not like Bartell Darcy. Sweet tart, goodbye. Of course, he had the gift of the voice, so there was no art in it. All over you like a warm shower bath. Oh, Maritana, wildwood flower, we sang splendidly, though it was a bit too high for my register, even transposed. And he was married at the time to May Goulding, but then he'd say or do something to knock the good out of it. He's a widower now. I wonder what sort is his son. He says he's an author and going to be a university professor of Italian, and I'm to take lessons. What is he driving at now? Showing him my photo. It's not good of me. I ought to have got it taken in drapery. That never looks out of fashion. Still, I look young in it. I wonder he didn't make him a present of it altogether, and me too. After all, why not? I saw him driving down to the Kingsbridge station with his father and mother. I was in mourning. That's 11 years ago now. Yes, he'd be 11. Though what was the good in going into mourning for what was neither one thing nor the other? Of course he insisted. He'd go into mourning for the cat. I suppose he's a man now by this time. He was an innocent boy then. And a darling little fellow in his Lord Fauntleroy suit and curly hair, like a prince on the stage when I saw him at Matt Dillon's. He liked me too, I remember. They all do. Wait. By God, yes. Wait, yes. Hold on. He was on the cards this morning when I laid out the deck. Union with a young stranger, neither dark nor fair, you met before. I thought it meant him, but he's no chicken, nor a stranger either. Besides, my face was turned the other way. What was the seventh card after that? The Ten of Spades for a journey by land, and then there was a letter on its way, and scandals too. The Three Queens and the Eight of Diamonds for a rise in society. Yes, wait! It all came out, and two red eights for new garments. Look at that! Didn't I dream something, too? Yes, there was something about poetry in it. I hope he hasn't long, greasy hair hanging into his eyes or standing up like a red Indian. What do they go about like that for? Only getting themselves and their poetry laughed at. I always liked poetry when I was a girl. First I thought he was a poet, like Byron, and not an ounce of it in his composition. I thought he was quite different. I wonder, is he too young? He's about, wait, 88 I was married. 88. Millie is 15 yesterday, 89. What age was he then at Dillon's? 5 or 6 about. 88. I suppose he's 20 or more. I'm not too old for him if he's 23 or 24. I hope he's not that stuck-up university student sort. No. Otherwise he wouldn't go sitting down in the old kitchen with him, taking Epps's cocoa and talking. Of course, he pretended to understand it all. Probably he told him he was out of Trinity College. He's very young to be a professor. I hope he's not a professor like Goodwin was. He was a patent professor of John Jemison. They all write about some woman in their poetry. Well, I suppose he won't find many like me. Where softly sighs of love the light guitar. Where poetry is in the air. The blue sea and the moon shining so beautifully. Coming back in the night boat from Tarifa, the lighthouse at Europa Point. The guitar that fellow played was so expressive. Will I never go back there again? All new faces. Two glancing eyes, a lattice hid. I'll sing that from. They're my eyes, if he's anything of a poet. Two eyes as darkly bright as love's own star. And those beautiful words, as love's young star. It'll be a change, the Lord knows, to have an intelligent person to talk to about yourself, not always listening to him. And Billy Prescott's ad, and Key's ad, and Tom the Devil's ad. Then if anything goes wrong in their business, we have to suffer. I'm sure he's very distinguished. I'd like to meet a man like that. God, not those other ruck. Besides, he's young. Those fine young men I could see down in Margate Strand bathing place on the side of the rock, standing up in the sun, naked like a god or something, and then plunging into the sea with them. Why aren't all men like that? There'd be some consolation for a woman like that lovely little statue he bought. I could look at him all day long, curly head, and his shoulders, his finger up for you to listen. There's real beauty in poetry for you. I often felt I wanted to kiss him all over. Also his lovely young cock. There, so simply, I wouldn't mind taking him in my mouth if nobody was looking. As if it was asking you to suck it, so clean and white he looked. With his boyish face, I would too in half a minute. Even if some of it went down, what, it's only like gruel or the dew. There's no danger. Besides, he'd be so clean compared to those pigs of men I suppose never dream of washing it from one year's end to the other, the most of them. Only that's what gives the women the moustaches. I'm sure it'll be grand. If I can only get in with a handsome young poet at my age, I'll throw them the first thing in the morning till I see if the wish card comes out. Or I'll try pairing the lady herself and see if he comes out. I'll read and study all I can find, or learn a bit off by heart. If I knew who he likes, so he won't think me stupid. If he thinks all women are the same, and I can teach him the other part, I'll make him feel all over him till he half faints under me. Then he'll write about me, lover and mistress, publicly too, with our two photographs in all the papers when he becomes famous. Oh, but then what am I going to do about him, though? No, that's no way for him. He has no manners, nor no refinement, nor no nothing in his nature. Slapping us behind like that on my bottom because I didn't call him Hugh, the ignoramus that doesn't know poetry from a cabbage. That's what you get for not keeping them in their proper place. Pulling off his shoes and trousers there on the chair before me, so barefaced, without even asking permission, and standing out that vulgar way in that half of a shirt they wear, to be admired, like a priest, or a butcher, or those old hypocrites in the time of Julius Caesar, of course. He's right enough in his way to pass the time as a joke. She might as well be in bed with what? With a lion. God, I'm sure he'd have something better to say for himself, an old lion would. Oh, well, I suppose it's because they were so plump and tempting in my short petticoat. He couldn't resist. They excite myself sometimes. It's well for men, all the amount of pleasure they get off a woman's body. We're so round and white for them always. I wished I was one myself for a change, just to try with that thing they have, swelling up on you so hard, and at the same time so soft when you touch it. "My Uncle John has a thing long," I heard those corner boys saying, passing the corner of Marrowbone Lane. "My Aunt Mary has a thing hairy," because it was dark and they knew a girl was passing. It didn't make me blush. Why should it either? It's only nature. "And he puts his thing long into my Aunt Mary's hairy, etc." And it turns out to be you put the handle in a sweeping brush. Men again, all over. They can pick and choose what they please, a married woman or a fast widow or a girl, for their different tastes. Like those houses round behind Irish Street. No, but we're to be always chained up. They're not going to be chaining me up, no damn fear, once I start, I tell you, for a stupid husband's jealousy. Why can't we all remain friends over it instead of quarrelling? Her husband found it out, what they did together. Well, naturally. And if he did, can he undo it? He's coronado, anyway, whatever he does. And then he going to the other mad extreme about the wife and fair tyrants. Of course the man never even cast a second thought on the husband or wife either. It's the woman he wants, and he gets her. What else were we given all those desires for, I'd like to know? I can't help it if I'm still young, can I? It's a wonder I'm not an old shrivelled hag before my time, living with him so cold, never embracing me, except sometimes when he's asleep, the wrong end of me. Not knowing, I suppose, who he has. Any man that'd kiss a woman's bottom, I'd throw my hat at him. After that, he'd kiss anything. Unnatural, where we haven't one atom of any kind of expression in us. All of us the same, two lumps of lard. Before ever I do that to a man, phew, the dirty brutes, the mere thought is enough. I kiss the feet of your signorita, There's some sense in that. Didn't he kiss our hall door? Yes, he did. What a madman. Nobody understands his cracked ideas but me. Still, of course, a woman wants to be embraced 20 times a day, almost, to make her look young. No matter by who, so long as to be in love or loved by somebody. If the fellow you want isn't there, sometimes, by the Lord God, I was thinking, would I go around by the quays there some dark evening, where nobody'd know me, and pick up a sailor off the sea that'd be hot on for it, and not care a pin whose I was, only do it off up in a gate somewhere. Or one of those wild-looking gypsies in Rathfarnham had their camp pitched near the Bloomfield Laundry to try and steal our things if they could. I only sent mine there a few times for the name. Model Laundry. Sending me back over and over some old one's old stockings. That blackguard-looking fellow with the fine eyes, peeling a switch, attacked me in the dark and ride me up against the wall without a word. Or a murderer, anybody. What they do themselves, the fine gentlemen in their silk hats. That K.C. lives up somewhere this way, coming out of Hardwick Lane the night he gave us a fish supper on account of winning over the boxing match. Of course, it was for me he gave it. I knew him by his gaiters and the walk, and when I turned around a minute after, just to see, there was a woman, after coming out of it too. Some filthy prostitute. Then he goes home to his wife after that. Only I suppose the half of those sailors are rotten again with disease. Oh, move over your big carcass out of that, for the love of Mike. Listen to him. The winds that waft my sighs to thee, so well he may sleep and sigh. The great suggester Don Poldo della Flora, if he knew how he came out on the cards this morning, he'd have something to sigh for. A dark man in some perplexity, between 2 sevens too, in prison. For Lord knows what he does that I don't know, and I'm to be slouching around down in the kitchen to get his lordship his breakfast, while he's rolled up like a mummy. Will I indeed? Did you ever see me running? I'd just like to see myself at it. Show them attention and they treat you like dirt. I don't care what anybody says. It'd be much better for the world to be governed by the women in it. You wouldn't see women going and killing one another and slaughtering. When do you ever see women rolling around drunk like they do, or gambling every penny they have and losing it on horses? Yes, because a woman, whatever she does, she knows where to stop. So they wouldn't be in the world at all only for us. They don't know what it is to be a woman and a mother. How could they? Where would they all of them be if they hadn't all a mother to look after them? What I never had. That's why I suppose he's running wild now, out at night away from his books and studies and not living at home, on account of the usual rowy house, I suppose. Well, it's a poor case that those that have a fine son like that, they're not satisfied, and I none. Was he not able to make one? It wasn't my fault we came together. When I was watching the two dogs, up in her, behind, in the middle of the naked street, that disheartened me altogether. I suppose I oughtn't to have buried him in that little woolly jacket I knitted, crying as I was, but give it to some poor child. But I knew well I'd never have another. Our first death, too, it was. We were never the same since. Oh, I'm not going to think myself into the glooms about that any more. I wonder why he wouldn't stay the night. I felt all the time it was somebody strange he brought in, instead of roving around the city meeting God knows who. Night walkers and pickpockets. His poor mother wouldn't like that if she was alive. Ruining himself for life, perhaps. Still, it's a lovely hour. So silent. I used to love coming home after dances. The air of the night. They have friends they can talk to. We've none. Either he wants what he won't get, or it's some woman ready to stick her knife in you. I hate that in women. No wonder they treat us the way they do. We're a dreadful lot of bitches. I suppose it's all the troubles we have making us so snappy. I'm not like that. He could easily have slept in there on the sofa in the other room. I suppose he was shy as a boy. He being so young, hardly 20, of me in the next room, he'd have heard me on the chamber. Arrow, what harm. Dedalus. I wonder. It's like those names in Gibraltar. Della Paz, Della Grazia. They had the devil's queer names there. Father Vial Plana of Santa Maria that gave me the rosary. Rosales E. O'Reilly and the Calle La Suetero of Weltas and Pisimbo. And Mrs. O'Pisso in Governor Street. Oh, what a name! I'd go and drown myself in the first river if I had a name like her. Oh, my, and all the bits of streets, Paradise Ramp and Bedlam Ramp and Rogers Ramp and Crutchet's Ramp and the Devil's Gap Steps. Well, small blame to me if I am a harum scarum. I know I am, a bit. I declare to God I don't feel a day older than then. I wonder could I get my tongue around any of the Spanish. ¿Cómo está usted? Muy buen, gracias. ¿Y usted? Sí. I haven't forgotten at all. I thought I had only for the grammar. A noun is the name of any person, place, or thing. Pity I never tried to read that novel Cantankerous Mrs. Ruvillo lent me, by Valera, with the questions in it all upside down the two ways. I always knew we'd go away in the end. I can tell him the Spanish, and he tell me the Italian. Then he'll see I'm not so ignorant. What a pity he didn't stay. I'm sure the poor fellow was dead tired and wanted a good sleep badly. I could have brought him in his breakfast in bed with a bit of toast, so long as I didn't do it on the knife for bad luck. Or if the woman was going her round with the watercress and something nice and tasty. There are a few olives in the kitchen he might like. I never could bear the look of them. In Avrinas I could do the criada. The room looks all right since I changed it the other way. You see, something was telling me all the time I'd have to introduce myself, not knowing me from Adam. It's very funny, wouldn't it? I'm his wife. Or pretend we were in Spain, with him half awake without a God's notion where he is. Dos huevos estrados, señor. Lord, the cracked things come into my head sometimes. It'd be great fun supposing he stayed with us. Why not? There's the room upstairs empty, and Millie's bed in the back room. He could do his writing and studies at the table in there, for all the scribbling he does at it. And if he wants to read in bed in the morning like me, as he's making the breakfast for one, he can make it for two. I'm sure I'm not going to take in lodgers off the street room if he takes a gazebo of a house like this. I'd love to have a long talk with an intelligent, well-educated person. I'd have to get a nice pair of red slippers, like those Turks with the fez used to sell, or yellow, and a nice semi-transparent morning gown that I badly want, or a peach blossom dressing jacket, like the one long ago in Walpole's, only 8 and 6, or 18 and 6. I'll just give him one more chance. I'll get up early in the morning. I'm sick of Cohen's old bed in any case. I might go over to the markets to see all the vegetables and cabbages and tomatoes and carrots and all kinds of splendid fruits, all coming in lovely and fresh. Who knows who'd be the first man I'd meet? They're out looking for it in the morning, Mamie Dillon used to say. They are. And the night, too. That was her mass going. I'd love a big juicy pear now to melt in your mouth, like when I used to be in the longing way. And I'll throw him up his eggs and tea in the moustache cup she gave him to make his mouth bigger. I suppose he'd like my nice cream, too. I know what I'll do. I'll go about rather gay, not too much singing, a bit, now and then. Mi fa pita mazzetto. Then I'll start dressing myself to go out. Presto, non son pu forte. I'll put on my best shift and drawers. Let him have a good eyeful of that to make his Mickey stand from. I let him know, if that's what he wanted, that his wife is fucked. Yes, and damn well fucked too. Up to my neck, nearly. Not by him. 5 or 6 times. Hand running. There's the mark of a spunk on the clean sheet. I wouldn't bother to even iron it out. That ought to satisfy him. If you don't believe me, feel my belly. Unless I made him stand there and put him into me, I've a mind to tell him every scrap and make him do it in front of me. Serve him right. It's all his own fault if I am an adulteress, as the thing in the gallery said. Ah, oh, much about it, if that's all the harm ever we did in this vale of tears. God knows it's not much, doesn't everybody? Only they hide it. I suppose that's what a woman is supposed to be there for, or he wouldn't have made us the way he did, so attractive to men. Then if he wants to kiss my bottom, I'll drag open my drawers and bulge it right out in his face, as large as life. He can stick his tongue 7 miles up my hole as he's there, my brown part. Then I'll tell him I want £1, or perhaps 30 shillings. I'll tell him I want to buy underclothes. Then if he gives me that, well, he won't be too bad. I don't want to soak it all out of him like other women do. I could often have written out a fine cheque for myself and write his name on it for £2. A few times he forgot to lock it up. Besides, he won't spend it. I let him do it off on me behind, provided he doesn't smear all my good drawers. Oh, I suppose that can't be helped. I'll do the indifferent 1 or 2 questions. I'll know by the answers when he's like that he can't keep a thing back. I know every turn in him. I'll tighten my bottom well and let out a few smutty words. Smell, romper, lick my shit, or the first mad thing comes into my head. Then I'll suggest about, yes. Oh, wait now, sonny, my turn is coming. I'll be quite gay and friendly over it. Oh, but I was forgetting this bloody pest of a thing. Phew, you wouldn't know which, to laugh or cry. Or such a mixture of plum and apple. No, I'll have to wear the old things. So much the better, it'll be more pointed. He'll never know whether he did it or not. There, that's good enough for you. Any old thing at all. Then I'll wipe him off me, just like a business. His omission. Then I'll go out. I'll have him eyeing up at the ceiling. Where is she gone now? Make him want me. That's the only way. A quarter after. What an unearthly hour. I suppose they're just getting up in China now. Combing out their pigtails for the day. We'll soon have the nuns ringing the Angelus. They've nobody coming in to spoil their sleep. Except an odd priest or two for his night office. The alarm clock next door at cockshow clattering the brains out of itself. Oh, let me see if I can doze off. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What kind of flowers are those they invented? Like the stars. The wallpaper in Lombard Street was much nicer. The apron he gave me was like that, something. Only I only wore it twice. Better lower this lamp and try again, so that I can get up early. I'll go to Lamb's there beside Finletter's and get them to send us some flowers to put about the place in case he brings him home tomorrow. Today, I mean. No. Friday's an unlucky day. First I want to do the place up some way. The dust grows in it, I think, while I'm asleep. Then we can have music and cigarettes. I can accompany him. First I must clean the keys of the piano with milk. What'll I wear? Shall I wear a white rose or those fairy cakes and Liptons? I love the smell of a rich big shop at 7 and 8 a pound. Or the other ones with the cherries in them and the pinky sugar. 11 a couple of pounds. Of course, a nice plant for the middle of the table. I'd get that cheaper and... Wait, where's this I saw them not long ago? I love flowers. I'd love to have the whole place swimming in roses. God of heaven, there's nothing like nature. The wild mountains and the sea and the waves rushing. Then the beautiful country with fields of oats and wheat and all kinds of things. And all the fine cattle going about that would do your heart good to see. Rivers and lakes and flowers. All sorts of shapes and smells and colours. Springing up even out of the ditches. Primroses and violets. Nature it is. As for them saying there's no God, I wouldn't give a snap of my 2 fingers for all their learning. Why don't they go and create something I often asked them? Atheists, or whatever they call themselves. Go and wash the cobbles off themselves first. Then they go howling for the priest and they dying. And why? Why? Because they're afraid of hell on account of their bad conscience. Ah, yes. I know them well. Who was the first person in the universe before there was anybody that made it all? Who? Ah, that they don't know. Neither do I, so there you are. They might as well try and stop the sun from rising. Tomorrow the sun shines for you, he said, the day we were lying among the rhododendrons on Hoth Head. in a grey tweed suit and a straw hat. The day I got him to propose to me, yes. First I gave him the bit of seed cake out of my mouth. And it was leap year like now, yes, 16 years ago. My God, after that long kiss I near lost my breath. Yes, he said I was a flower of the mountain. Yes, so we are, flowers all, a woman's body. Yes, that was one true thing he said in his life. And the sun shines for you today. Yes, that was why I liked him, because I saw he understood or felt what a woman is, and I knew I could always get around him, and I gave him all the pleasure I could, leading him on till he asked me to say yes. And I wouldn't answer first, only looked out over the sea and the sky. I was thinking of so many things he didn't know of, Mulvey, and Mr. Stanhope, and Hester, and Father, and old Captain Groves, and the sailors playing All Birds Fly, and I Say Stoop, and Washing Up Dishes, they call it on the pier, and the sentry in front of the governor's house, with the thing round his white helmet, poor devil, half roasted, and the Spanish girls laughing in their shawls and their tall combs, and the auctions in the morning, the Greeks and the Jews and the Arabs and the devil knows who else from all ends of Europe and Duke Street, and the fowl market, all clucking, outside Larby Sharon's, and the poor donkeys slipping, half asleep, and the vague fellows in the cloaks, asleep in the shade on the steps, and the big wheels of the carts of the bulls, and the old castle, thousands of years old, yes, and those handsome Moors all in white, and turbans like kings, asking you to sit down in their little bit of a shop, and Rhonda, with the old windows of the Posadas, glancing eyes, a lattice hid, for her lover to kiss, the iron, and the wine shops half open at night, and the castanets, and the night we missed the boat at Algeciras, the watchman going about serene with his lamp, and oh, that awful deep down torrent, oh, and the sea crimson sometimes like fire, and the glorious sunsets and the fig trees and the Alameda Gardens, yes, and all the queer little streets and pink and blue and yellow houses and the rose gardens and the jessamine and geraniums and cactuses and Gibraltar as a girl. Where I was a flower of the mountain, yes. When I put the rose in my hair like the Andalusian girls used. Or shall I wear a red, yes. And how he kissed me under the Moorish wall, and I thought, well, as well him as another. And then I asked him with my eyes to ask again, yes. And then he asked me, would I, yes, to say yes, my mountain flower. And first I put my arms around him, yes, and drew him down to me so he could feel my breasts all perfume, yes. And his heart was going like mad, and yes, I said, yes, I will, yes.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.